Moramai, good morning. This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. On the programme today, a major art exhibition is coming to the island next weekend, and we have the story from Reverend Steve Ingruel. And we have a new chair of district, a new leader of the Methodist Church on the island. We'll be meeting Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett later in the programme. But as we're talking about the creative arts today, let's start with a very appropriate hymn, Come to Us, Creative Spirit. And you may well hear your own voice in this recording. It's from the BBC Songs of Praise programme, recorded in the Cathedral in Peel in 2013. Come to Us, Creative Spirit, recorded in 2013 in the Cathedral in Peel as part of an edition of BBC Television's Songs of Praise. Christian artist Anne House has created 34 silk paintings that tell the story of the Gospel from a fresh and unique perspective, and they'll be exhibited in Onchan Methodist Church very soon. Reverend Steve Ingruel, who, with his wife Rebecca, has care of that church, is curating the exhibition and joins us today to reflect on God's gift of creativity.
Bless the creators, O God of creation, who by their gifts make the world a more joyful and beautiful realm. Through their labours they teach us to see more clearly the truth around us. In their inspiration, they call forth wonder and awe in our own living. In their hope and vision, they remind us that life is holy. Bless all who create in your image, O God of creation. Pour your Spirit upon them, that their hearts may sing and their works be fulfilling. Amen.
Exodus chapter 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers.
There are so many people around us on this island who are gifted in the creative arts. I've recently been to the Isle of Man Art Society exhibition at Braddon Church Halls, and there's some wonderful creativity on display, with a variety of different mediums being used, some using oils or acrylics, or watercolours, some sculpting in glass or clay, and I find a growing appreciation of the skill of others in this area, since during the second lockdown, I took up painting myself. During the first lockdown, I discovered the joy of painting on BBC Four with the wonderful Bob Ross. And throughout every episode, he's always saying it's as simple as that, anyone can do it. And one of my daughters then bought me a set for Christmas, and I gave it a go. I stood in front of a TV, and I followed, having paused each bit that Bob created on his canvas and tried to replicate it on mine. I came to the end and my daughter came in and she said, "Oh wow, I thought you were going to completely mess it up, Daddy." To be fair to her, I thought that too. And I don't claim to be much good at art, but I am learning to enjoy that form of expression and the creative release that it brings. I'm also learning to see the world through an artist's eye and find that this is enhancing my enjoyment of its beauty and the God who made it. I believe that whilst God singles out some individuals to use creative gifts for specific purposes, such as Bezalel being commissioned by God to create the decorations and furnishings in the tabernacle, all creativity ultimately has its origin in the creative spirit of God. In his letter to the churches, James says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And the artistic gifts that some have are a part of how they are made, made by God, the Father of heavenly lights. And when those gifts are given back to God, something even more amazing happens, and the work they produce is elevated to speak of his love and sing of his glory. The Lausanne movement wrote a report called Focus on the Arts, Truth and the Arts in Mission, in which they say this: "We possess the gift of creativity because we bear the image of God. Art in its many forms is an integral part of what we do as humans and can reflect something of the beauty and truth of God. Artists at their best are truth tellers, and so the arts constitute one important way in which we can speak the truth of the gospel. Drama, dance, story, music and visual image can be expressions both of the reality of our brokenness and of the hope that is centred in the gospel that all things will be made new." Perhaps each one of us needs to get a bit better at offering to God our whole lives, recognising that every talent we have ultimately comes from the one who made us. We've seen recently some Olympians and now Paralympians who talk of competing for the glory of God. But I also thank God for those musicians and artists, writers, poets, gardeners, whoever they are, who do what they do because they enjoy using the gifts God has given to them and seeing something in expressing those gifts as a way of offering that back to God. Offering all we have to God, in whatever form that takes, is a truly important part of the Christian discipleship for each one of us.
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. A hymn that closely fits the attitude of artist Anne House, whose series of silk paintings, capturing different aspects of the gospel story, will be on display in Onchan Methodist Church from next Saturday, September the 4th. But how did the exhibition come into being? Anne's story begins some 30 years ago when she was working as a supply teacher in a school she loved and where a permanent job had become available and she was being encouraged to apply for it. But at the same time, she'd also had a series of quite successful exhibitions of her artwork at local galleries, and in fact, in the last one, she'd sold every piece on display. So she started thinking seriously about her future and found herself thinking, I think I've finished my apprenticeship. That in itself puzzled her because she'd never really thought of it in that way before. But she couldn't stop feeling the call of God, that he somehow wanted her to work in the church. When she approached one of her church leaders, he suggested that Anne, based on her teaching experience, would be well suited to work with children. But Anne didn't feel that was where God was calling her. So then her minister said, well, why don't you illustrate the New Generation Prophecy? Anne's minister had brought the words of the New Generation Prophecy back from a conference he'd attended, and it had had a profound effect on their whole church family, with many people inspired to really get involved in the life and the growth of the church. Here's Steve again with the words of the New Generation Prophecy.
The New Generation Prophecy. I am grieved over this nation in which you live, over all that has been stolen from this nation to whom I have given so much. I am grieving over a generation of unborn children who have been robbed of their right to live, over a generation of children who have been robbed of their innocence, a generation of teenagers who have been robbed of their righteousness and their joy, over a generation of men and women who have been robbed of their understanding of what godly manhood and womanhood is, and over a generation of old people who have been robbed of hope. But I declare to you, my people, that I am speaking into being a new nation, a new generation. For I am bringing into being in this land a new generation of children who are radiant in childlike faith, a new generation of young people who are joyful in holiness, a new generation of men and women who will redefine in the eyes of this nation godly manhood and womanhood. I am bringing into being a new generation of old people who will not carry their years as a burden, but will wear them as a crown. I am speaking this new generation into being now by an invading army, and I would have you open up your eyes, lift up your heads, and see that the invasion has already begun.
That's the New Generation Prophecy, and once artist Anne House had read it, she couldn't stop thinking about it. Her minister had suggested that she use her artistic ability to illustrate it, but even though Anne didn't feel she could do it, she felt equally strongly that she should try. She discussed it with her husband, who suggested that she take a 3-month break from teaching and, in his words, get it out of her system. So she took 3 months out, and that was 30 years ago. It didn't take 30 years to do the paintings, of course. It took 3 years to actually put together the collection, but it was all-consuming. Anne says she had no idea what she was doing. She says, suddenly, instead of painting nice pictures that people wanted to put on their walls to go with their curtains or whatever, I was painting serious stuff, and it quite shocked me, really. Her minister looked at the first piece and was encouraging, so Anne thought that perhaps she would do a few more. She didn't realise that 3 years later she would end up with 34 panels. So how does Anne do it? She says that she starts with a 6-foot panel of white silk, and no idea really what she's going to do. Then she gets an inkling about some of the image, but not all of it. She starts to paint. Then she feels God guiding her as she works. She says it's a continual conversation with God, and it takes a lot of concentration and a lot of fear that she's going to get it wrong. She says, I just have to be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence because I really couldn't paint without him. So how do people react to these 34 silk paintings when they're on display? Anne's exhibition has been up in lots of different places, churches, schools, prisons, shopping centres. But every time it goes up, it has a completely different feel to it, mainly because the room it's in is different, so the pictures have to be arranged slightly differently. But, says Anne, it's the people who come in. She says, God's agenda is always very different from ours. The people who organise the exhibitions are hoping that the Holy Spirit is going to come in and inspire people in this way and that way. But, says Anne, he's God and he chooses what he wants to do. Anne believes that people are affected by the paintings because she painted each one from her own personal experience or the personal experience of people very close to her. So she says she has painted the truth. Anne has tried throughout to be obedient to God, adding that he chooses the agenda. We just have to be really open to what he's got planned, says Anne, not what I've got planned. The exhibition is usually arranged in a rough circle and begins with the story of creation. The next section is all about the fall and what we human beings have done with all that beauty. Anne admits that some of the images are quite disturbing, but always the hope of God is in them. The final section starts with three pictures linked to the crucifixion and ends with the revelation of how God is going to restore the earth. And interestingly, although Anne painted the pictures out of sequence, the first picture is the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and the last picture is entitled, I Will Pour Out My Spirit on All People. So, Anne says, it starts with the Spirit and ends with the Spirit, and the real message of the New Generation exhibition of silk paintings is, there is always hope, hope in Jesus. Thanks to the Reverend Steve Ingrall for joining us this morning. I hope that as a result of what you've heard, that you will feel drawn to see the exhibition for yourself. And Steve has the details of how, where and when you can do this.
So the exhibition will be up at one of the churches Rebecca and I look after. That's Onchan Methodist Church, which is on the main road in Onchan, very easy to find, with bus stops in both directions and additional car parking just over the road. It will be from the 4th to the 12th of September, open every day from 10 in the morning till 8 in the evening. It's free entry and there'll be free refreshments. It would be great to see you there.
We put a truly Manx stamp on a splendid service of welcome in Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas yesterday evening, with the words, God is here as we his people meet to offer praise and prayer, sung, as you can hear, to a very familiar tune. The welcome was for Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett as Chair of District and Superintendent of the Circuit, the leader of the Methodist Church on the island. Reverend Janet will also be Minister of Trinity and Promenade Methodist Churches here in Douglas. The service involved other Methodist ministers from around the circuit, and Reverend Janet was also welcomed by representatives of other Christian denominations and by civic leaders. After the service, Janet stood outside Trinity Church so that everyone had a chance to stop and chat out in the fresh evening air. Janet is Manx born and bred. Her parents live in Onchan and attend the church there. But in this very brief chat, I asked Reverend Janet why she is both Chair of District and Superintendent of the Circuit.
Well, in most of Methodism, a district would have several circuits, and that's how it was in the Isle of Man previously. But the circuits were amalgamated into one circuit with a superintendent and one district with a chair. It used to be two people, but now we've got one.
And it's you.
And it's me, yes.
Now, it would seem like the dream position for you, coming back to your island and coming back in a position of leadership. Were you really excited at the possibility that this could be you?
I think excited, but humble and sort of scared a little bit. You know, when God moves, you know, when the call comes, it's usually don't be afraid, but I'm with you. So I'm really glad to be home. I don't think I ever imagined I would be coming home as the chair of district, but I think God gave me various nudges, and I guess I've avoided leadership for a while.
But Janet, you bring a wealth of experience. I mean, we talked a few years ago when you were involved in a huge international conference that required an awful lot of planning, and for you it was a very fulfilling and enriching experience. You've been in a quite challenging area of London, you've been to Yorkshire. You bring a great breadth.
Yes, I think what I've learnt from being in some really tricky places is you have to grow your roots into God in prayer. And you know, it's so easy to end up serving the institution or serving the congregation even, or your own ego. One of the things I'm really sure about here is I'm here to serve God and to help other people serve God. And to do that and to stop the other things encroaching, you have to find God in the silent places and in the prayerful places. And that's another brilliant thing about coming home with the Isle of Man, coming with so many places of prayer and the spirituality network and the retreat centre, and you know, all that stuff is really exciting.
And you were welcomed by representatives from the other denominations. So do you look forward to working ecumenically then?
Absolutely. Thank you, Judith. It was a very warm welcome, and I'm really happy to be here.
Friend, colleague and chair of the Liverpool District of the Methodist Church, Reverend Dr. Cheryl Anderson, travelled to the island and preached the sermon at last night's service. We chatted afterwards when she reflected on the benefits of Janet's Manx upbringing, coupled with the extensive experience gained through her years in ministry so far.
I know when I've had conversations with Janet about this, it's this sense of returning to something, but also like for the first time. That sense of bringing a whole wealth of experience from away from the island and being able to bring that back to something that she's deeply, deeply rooted in. So I'm very excited for her in this new appointment, and I'm very excited for the island as well. I live in Liverpool. I'm the chair of the Liverpool District. And just moving from where I was in London to Liverpool, that's a big kind of cultural change. And it takes you a while to get the sense of humour that people have, the way you can engage with people and how to have conversation with people about some of the most significant things in life, really. And I think Janet will have a tremendous advantage because she understands that. It's better than understanding that she grew up here. It's part of her blood. It's part of her experience. And she will bring so much because of that.
Christ, be your guide, child,
Just a little flavour of the welcome service for Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett, new leader of the Methodist Church on the island. And there'll be more from Reverend Dr. Cheryl Anderson, chair of the Liverpool District of the Methodist Church, in next week's programme as she reflects on the challenges and the opportunities that have been offered through the COVID pandemic. And we finish today with a look at some items from our notice board. The popular Sunday Night at 8 concerts at the Promenade Methodist Church resume next Sunday, the 5th of September, with a concert by Musicale. Free admission, refreshments afterwards, and an opportunity to make a donation as you leave. St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas have a concert, as usual, on Wednesday evening from 7:45, with homemade cakes and hot drinks afterwards. This Wednesday, Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band will entertain, and whilst admission is free, donations would be most welcome. The Thursday night summer concert in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin will be given this week by the Londo Male Voice Choir. Admission is free, the starting time is like St Thomas's, 7:45, and there are refreshments in the church hall afterwards. There's no motorbike racing this year, but there are some of the traditional favourite refreshments available this weekend. TTTs are being served in Bride Church Hall today and tomorrow from noon to 5 p.m. on both days. And also this weekend, the Friends of St Jude's Church are serving afternoon tea costing £10 per person at Tina Gilga, the old schoolhouse opposite St Jude's Church. And Tina Gilga is open today and tomorrow between 1 and 4 p.m. And looking ahead to next weekend, you're warmly invited to a two-course lunch in the Cool Chapel Hall on Saturday the 4th of September from noon till 2 p.m. There are several options on the menu, including the always popular cool desserts. The price is £10 for chapel funds. And because next Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, there'll be a craft market in Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre. Next Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Homemade produce and handicrafts by local artists, gifts, knitwear, jewellery, artwork and much more. Entry is free. There'll also be homemade light lunches and the famous bacon baps on sale, as well as hot drinks and cakes. And finally, Orrisdale Chapel have an art exhibition with work by distinguished local artists on display next Saturday and Sunday, the 4th and 5th of September. The chapel will be open each day from 10:30 to 4 o'clock, and admission is £2, including refreshments. And that's all that we've time for today. News for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns to be included in future programmes can all be sent to me via email, judithleigh@manxradio.com. I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown, easy listening music to round off your weekend. But for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a safe, blessed and peaceful week, and a very good morning. The Nation Station, Manx Radio.